tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to today's episode of Quick Charge. It's July 11th, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to start today's news off with Tesla. Tesla is going to delay its robotaxi unveiling, according to a new report. Tesla is reportedly planning to delay the unveiling of its so-called robotaxi driverless vehicle by a few months. Not much is known about the vehicle other than hints that it won't have a steering wheel or pedals and that it will be Cybertruck-like in terms of design. We might have also seen a glimpse of the interior in a video that Tesla previously released. In April, Musk said that Tesla would unveil the vehicle on August 8th. However, Bloomberg is reporting that the unveiling will now be delayed until October. Quote, Tesla Inc. is delaying its planned robotaxi unveiling to October from August to allow teams working on the project more time to build additional vehicle prototypes, according to people familiar with the design. Now, if a small hatchback vehicle with no steering wheel or pedals that drives itself around sounds familiar, that's because Rimac launched a similar vehicle just last month. This was the Vern, an autonomous level 4 vehicle with a sliding door very similar to Tesla's. You can see there a lot of the autonomous type sensors that we've come to see from brands like Cruise and Waymo. You can see the touchpad on the door. Presumably that's to enter a PIN to get in and out, and obviously no steering wheel or pedals. Now, Rimac arguably stole all of Tesla's ideas. This looks just like every sketch that's been put out there, and Rimac has actually built a few prototypes of this, and it seems to work. So it'll be interesting to see which of the two companies, whether it's going to be Rimac or Tesla, that actually puts a robo-taxi-like vehicle into production first. And I'd love to hear your take on who's going to get the jump on that in the comments. Moving on from Tesla to politics, Joe Biden has awarded $1.7 billion to bring auto manufacturing back to 8 states. That's through the Department of Energy, which has announced $1.7 billion in grant awards today, targeted at helping automakers keep 11 troubled manufacturing plants open and to start building more EVs there. The money for these grants came from the Inflation Reduction Act, which was passed in 2022, with nearly $400 billion in funding for climate-related expenditures, making it the largest climate spending bill ever passed by any country. The 11 facilities selected include plants and suppliers for Hyundai, Bluebird, that's a large bus company, Cummins, obviously big industrial trucks, Fiat, Chrysler, GM, Harley-Davidson, Volvo, and ZF. The plants are in 8 states, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, and Virginia, and a full list of program awardees can be found on the website. According to the White House, the grants are going to help create and retain tens of thousands of jobs. 2,900 new jobs are expected to be created by these projects, and 15,000 union jobs that could have been lost will be retained by keeping these facilities open. Now, speaking of unions, Tesla's having trouble with unions overseas. Unions threatened to strike at Tesla Giga Berlin after a contentious meeting. A powerful German union has threatened a potential strike at Tesla Gigafactory Berlin after a contentious meeting with management. According to publication DW, safety, job security, and pay concerns pushed by IG Metall dominated the discussion at the meeting, and recent layoffs were also discussed. But the moment that took over all the headlines was when plant manager Andre Thierig took to the stage and complained about coffee mugs disappearing from the plant. Quote, I'm just going to give you a figure. We've bought 65,000 coffee mugs since we started production here. 65,000. Statistically speaking, each of you already has 5 IKEA coffee cups at home. I'm really tired of approving orders to buy more coffee cups. This was met by laughter from the crowd, but Thierig seriously said that he would take away cutlery from the break rooms if it continued. Now, anyone who's listened to my other podcast, the Heavy Equipment Podcast, understands that I am a huge union guy. I'm a big supporter of labor in all its forms, whether it's the Teamsters, whether it's the UAW, whether it's the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the operators and engineers, all of them. I am 100% pro-labor. And the fact that the wealthiest automaker in the world, an automaker that by market cap is worth more than the next 9 automakers combined, is complaining about 65,000 coffee cups when they just awarded $50+ billion to their CEO is absolutely mind-boggling. I'm sure some of you listening to this are going to have ways to justify it. You're going to have ways to make it all make sense. You're going to tell me all about capitalism or Ayn Rand or some other nonsense that I don't care about. I would love to actually be convinced that a company of this size with this much wealth really needs to bring up coffee cups at this meeting, and in such a way that they're using that as leverage to threaten to remove cutlery from the break rooms. So I am just completely baffled. Please make it make sense. That's what the comments are for. Moving on from Tesla, Polestar has a new concept BST to make its global debut at Goodwood, and Six Concept will do the hill climb. Now, Goodwood Festival of Speed, this is one of the great motorsports events that they have every year. This is a hill climb on private manor grounds in England. This is an old money type of family, and people go up this hill as fast as they can. You've got Formula One drivers, IndyCar drivers. They have historic cars, cars from movies, racing cars, and future cars and concept cars, just like this one. Polestar has made a bit of a habit of showing off cars there every year for the last couple of years. First, their initial flagship one, that was the car that launched the brand. That was a 950 pound foot of torque plug-in hybrid vehicle. The flagship two sedan and sporting versions of that, Polestar 3 and 4 SUVs, all of those are going into initial production, and the 2, 3, and 4 are now available for sale in the U.S. Joining the 3 and 4 in Goodwood's first look paddock will be the Polestar 6 concept, marking its dynamic debut, meaning the first time anyone's ever seen it running, as the automaker intends to send it up the hill with hopes of an impressive time. Now, we've talked about this car before. We've seen it in concepts and rendering, but look how gorgeous this looks. That aggressive sort of motorsports livery, that huge wing on it, that splitter, that diffuser. This is a sharp looking, fast, convertible EV. I think it's every bit as good looking as the Maserati that Scooter drove a couple of weeks ago. And I think this is going to be something that's going to put down an impressive time. Maybe not something that's going to threaten for the overall lap time or even the overall production lap time, but it's going to be plenty quick for a car that's going to end up tooling around Palm Beach and Rodeo Drive with the top down. So good for them. In other fun news, this is a Tesla Model 3. No, really. Fred Lambert has an article here about a coach-built Mercedes 300 SL that is more Tesla Model 3 than anything else. Many early salvaged Tesla Model S vehicles were used for that very purpose. Now, we are starting to see some Model 3s being used the same way, but the people at S Club LA went a bit further and created this thing. Now, it's not just due to the replica body that he says it's more Model 3 than Mercedes SL. They didn't just use the Model 3's powertrain. They kept the steering wheel, the steering rack, the center display. They really effectively made this a Model 3. It drives, it feels like a Model 3 from the inside, but from the outside, it looks like a classic Mercedes 300 SL. Well, sort of. It looks like a 300 SL that's really been through the resto mod ringer. It's got massive wheels and tires. I'm not completely convinced that they work, but they're HREs. They're gorgeous. Nice lip on those rims. I like the LED lights. I think those work pretty well. But, you know, things like this are always a matter of taste. It's always very subjective. Again, I'm not sure that I like the fake side exhausts or the fender flares. To me, I could have done without either of those. But at the same time, when you have a car this powerful, you can't send it down the road on pizza cutter tires. That's my two cents. I'd love to hear what you think about it in the comments. And speaking of which, we always love it when you engage with us in the comments. Feel free to like and subscribe and go in there and let us know what you think. And hey, we'll see you next week.